Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am speaking with Dr. Craig Albert. And Dr. Albert, there's something that's been on the hearts and minds, the emotions of Americans all across the country for some time now. It has to do with humanity and, of course, with people who are wanting to find a better life for themselves, for their children. That has to do with the immigration thing and what I call a meet them at the border mentality, where a president had made it policy to meet these families at the Mexico-U.S. border, take the children, and I say tear the children from their parents, split these families up, and who knows when have them reunited. One of the things he was telling us is that he wasn't sure he had the power to pass policy to stop that. That baffled me because on the one hand, he was issuing all kinds of executive orders about any number of other items, whether it had to do with climate change, you name it, issuing executive orders that became policy. On this issue, the people who were taking the families, splitting the families up, seemed to be under orders. It's not them saying themselves, when you get here, we've decided we're going to snatch your children from you. They were under orders. And from what we're hearing in the news, it was President Trump's policy. What is it about immigration policy that could possibly have made it so complex for him that he did not know he had the authority as President of the United States of America to issue an order halting that policy of tearing children from their families, from their parents?
All right, so this is a multifaceted issue that there's a lot of confusion about and a lot of politicking by both sides in the media. So first off, it is United States law that you are a criminal if you trespass into the United States.
Right.
That's a law of the land, period. So under President Obama, that was law. Mm-hmm. Under President Trump, that's a law.
Under President Bush.
Under President Bush, it's a law. It's a crime to enter illegally. So how a president chooses to interpret this, of course, is up to the president, because the president is the chief executive. That executive literally means executor, to get things done, or how one enforces congressional policy. So the president, each president has leeway to interpret a congressional law, the same law, differently according to how they view that law. This is their prerogative, presidential prerogative, is how they interpret and therefore enforce congressional statute. President Obama said, I understand that it's a crime to cross. Let me preface this by saying another thing. It was also passed as a law that children cannot be detained with their parents who have crossed illegally into the United States and are therefore criminals, because that would be as though you're sending those children to jail. So it became law not to detain children with their parents because the parents were in jail. Mm-hmm. So that was considered inhumane. That is also a congressional statute. President Obama decided to only enforce illegals crossing into this country as criminal if they were caught with hard drugs on their person, if they were caught in the sex trafficking business or human trafficking business or other gravest felonies. So he chose to interpret what a criminal meant as an immigrant illegally coming into this, and therefore being able to be detained separately from their children much more severely than does Donald Trump, or should I say much more narrowly than Donald Trump. So it's law. President Obama said, I'm only going to enforce this aspect if you're a violent offender, if you're involved in the trafficking business, whether it's in human persons or drugs. Mm-hmm. President Trump comes to office and says, the law is very clear on this. It says you're a criminal if you come into this country. I'm applying it the way I see the law reads, and it's my job as the chief enforcer to enforce it this way. If you come in, you are a criminal automatically, whether you're trying to to get refugee status or asylum, you cross in illegally. Until we have that trial to give you asylum or not, you are considered a trespasser, which is a criminal offense. You're going to wait in a detention facility separated from your child, because that also is law. You have to be separated from your child if you're detained. So President Trump is saying, I am literally just obeying the law and enforcing it the way I see fit. That's his logic. Who's right in either of those situations? Both of them. Both presidents interpret the law the way they saw fit, and both of it is doing what they think is in America's best interest. So now Trump's saying he doesn't have the power to change that. He knew he had the power to change that. He was trying to use this as leverage. He was playing politics with this, trying to get something out of the Democrats. What was he trying to get out of the Democrats? Money, so he could build his wall between Mexico and the United States. He was trying to create a situation in which Congress would have to pass a law that specifies how to handle detention of children versus detention of their families if they were caught coming into this country illegally. And in exchange for making those laws more lenient, he was going to ask for money to build that wall immediately. So that's what was going on in Trump's head, or at least how I interpret what was going on in the president's head.
Because he did blame the Democrats.
And that's what he meant by blaming the Democrats, that they were holding this up because they weren't going to provide money for this wall. They weren't interested in securing our borders. And I don't tell people where my political stances are. I don't think that's anybody's, you know, business inside the classroom or the listeners, because I want to give them objective, just stoic, objective points on what politics is happening at the time. But we do need something done with border security. So this has nothing to do with preventing immigrants from entering illegally just because they're from South America or Central America. The point is that we have a very serious narco trade going on, billions of dollars. A lot of this addiction to opioids isn't just the medical industry's fault. It's, you know, heroin's fault. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is coming in from other countries through the Mexican border. There's also a substantial attempt by Al-Qaeda and ISIS to pay heavy, heavy sums to the drug cartels to sneak members of ISIS and Al-Qaeda into the United States to initiate acts of terrorism against the United States through the Mexican border. So there is a very sincere, politically objective, political science understanding that something needs to be done to protect that border a little more seriously. So when President Trump says that border security is a serious issue, I take him at his word on that from a politically objective policy standpoint. I'm not sure the wall is the best way to do that. I'm not sure bargaining families is the best way to achieve this, but he thought that this was a good political resource to use. Mm-hmm. I'll say two more things on this for now, and then maybe we'll delve into some more points. This isn't over yet. Under current law, in a Supreme Court decision called the Flores decision, children can only be held in detention facilities, period, for 20 days.
Yeah.
So if we decide that, when was his executive order? Yesterday, Wednesday, he passed this executive order. If that's the date of initiation, then as of today, we only have 17 more days until we see the exact same situation where children have to be removed from their families, because that is the law of the land. So he is still asking for Congress to make a law that would change all of that, period. That's the first point. The second point, in case we have Republicans out there or Trump supporters that think I'm being harsh on President Trump, saying he's playing politics with this, the Democrats are also playing politics on this. They're not showing these images and, you know, striking protests in Congress, trying to demonize President Trump out of the kindness of their heart because they're just altruistic. They also see political points that can be won here by portraying the Republicans, and President Trump especially, as being anti-immigrant, anti-child, anti-family, hoping to win votes in the upcoming midterm elections. So this is politics. Politics is a dirty business. Both sides are playing it and leaving it, the humanity of the family, outside, for better or worse, depending on your viewpoint.
And that's one of the things that I've said to people before, Dr. Albert, you know, people like to play the moral card. And I tell people all the time, when it comes, because this is partly a morality issue too, a moral issue. It's not just a political matter. And I tell people all the time, look, man, when it comes to morality, neither party has cornered the market.
Exactly. And I'm not sure in a secular state, which is technically what we are, we're not a theocracy, right? We don't have a sponsored religion, which the founders were prudent to do so that no one group could be oppressed or gain power and use it to oppress all other religious groups, right? That's the reasoning behind separation of church and state and the free exercise clause and the non-establishment clause of the First Amendment. But this is, nobody in American politics can claim and should not claim in a secular state to make law based on morality. Because then the question is, well, on whose morality are you talking about? What does that mean? The purpose of a plural representative democracy is that we make room for multiple moralities. Because I'm sure my understanding of morality is different than at least half of your listeners. I'm sure we're, just because I know you, me and you are probably similar on most of our issues of morality. But I bet we have one or two differences even between us. Yeah. My wife and I, who are identical in most of our views when it comes to morality, have some very key differences on certain issues of morality. So to even say that we're making a moral decision in government for just those reasons, I'm not sure is the right way to approach governing or policy. The number one job of government throughout political science is to secure its people. That's its first job. Let me take that back. Its first job is to secure itself. Mm-hmm. A government has to make sure it is secure. So every government in the world throughout time's first prerogative is self-security. The second is the security of its people. You have to govern your people because your people give your government the legitimacy. Now, the problem with this understanding is, of course, every government says that it is securing its people properly, no matter what government it is. So China says it's securing its government properly, its people properly. North Korea says, I am doing what's in my people's best interest, right? Mm-hmm. After you secure your government, after you secure your citizens, then you open up the room for policymaking when it concerns non-citizens or other countries. And this is where it becomes tricky because you have to balance their human rights with the interest, not rights or morality of your population, but the citizens' interest of your country with your government legitimacy and your government security, which is the first objective of government, its own security. So if you try to balance all three of those, you see where it can become quite complex and complicated and overwhelming to try to account for morality in any of these issues. So I wouldn't buy anybody on most issues that's in office that is trying to get something implemented is doing it for interest, for themselves, their party, or how they see America's interest. That's what they're doing it for. And you're right, they're playing the morality game or the morality card if they say it's just out of a matter of morality. That's not necessarily true.
Dr. Craig Albert, I appreciate you all for joining us for the discussions. I'm telling you what, this is all about enlightenment. We'll be right back.